Blog Talk Radio. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ. Good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what we may face. Why? Because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One. And I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all glory and all praise and worship and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church, located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give respect to my covering, my sponsors, and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day on Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, Breaker, Radio.com, iHeartRadio, and many other podcast platforms, where we study the Word of God together in a spirit of unity. All you have to do is type in the Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tool, all of the things that we use when we get together on Tuesdays and Thursdays to study the Word of God together. And we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the study tools that we use when we are getting ready to study the Word of God together on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Truly, 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 today is a beautiful day. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It is such a blessing, a privilege, an honor to be before and be able to share the Word of God with my brothers and sisters all around the world, my brothers and sisters in Christ, for we are all united as one body, one family, the family of the Most High God, through Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. To God be all the glory for the great things He is doing, has done, and is yet going to do. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we say, our Father, our precious, dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, holy, magnificent, glorious, full of splendor and honor and might is your name in all the earth. We say, thy kingdom come, O God, and thy will be done in and on the earth as it is always done in heaven. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity. We do not take our waking moments for granted. We thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. Divine life. Divine health. Divine strength. For it is your life and your health and your that you have given unto us on this day as a gift. Because of your love for us, O God, we thank you for your love. We bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We lift you up. We exalt you. Oh, our lips and our mouths are full of your praise on this day, O God. For you said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your presence in us, on us, around us, working through us, resting, ruling, and abiding around us and in our space. We welcome you here. You are welcome, your majesty, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. You are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving as only as you can upon the listening audience right now. Thank you, Lord, for your peace, enveloping, enclosing, permeating and penetrating and resting on us on this day. No matter what is going on around us, O God, we thank you that we walk in your divine, perfect peace. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to study your word together in the spirit of unity, unified as one body. One to another. Father, we thank you for this day and this opportunity. We bless your name and we thank you, Lord, that you have hidden us all behind the cross so that it is all of you that is seen, heard, and demonstrated and none of us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. For you are the teacher, and you bring us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all said, Amen. Amen. Truly, the Lord is so good. He is so excellent. I just can't stop praising his name. I don't know if anyone remembers that song. I can't stop praising his name, Jesus. There is no other name greater. There is no other name higher. There is no other name better. There is no other name stronger. There is no other name more powerful. There is no other name that is above the name of Jesus. Our lesson today is coming from John chapter 15, and we'll be in verses 1 through 17. But last Thursday, we were in Psalms 119, verses 1 through 16. And Psalm 119 is a very special psalm because that psalm talks about the statutes and precepts and ways of the Lord. And if we glance over to Psalm 119 and look at verse 4, and I'll be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition as I always do, and we all can follow along in our translations with each other as we do when we study. But verse 4 in Psalm 119 says, "You have commanded us to keep your precepts, that we should observe them diligently." God has commanded us to keep his precepts, that we should observe them diligently. And we were talking about how much we value the Word of God on last Thursday, and do we value Jesus' words? Well, the statutes, part of the statutes that Psalm 119 is talking about here is in John chapter 15 in the words of Jesus the Christ. And what he said, beginning at the first verse, he said, I am the true vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So there is no other vine but Jesus. He's the true vine. You know, a lot of people say there are many ways to God. No, there's only one way. The true vine is the only way. There may be this way. There may be that way. This one's talking about this way. This one's talking about that way. But there are not many ways to God. There's only one way. And Jesus the Christ himself said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. So he is the one, the true vine. And he said his Father is the vine dresser, which means he keeps the vine. Not only does he keep us, he keeps the true vine. And the true vine has engrafted the Gentiles, those who are not of Hebrew origin or Hebrew descent, even though Israel is God's chosen people, we as the Gentiles who are non-Hebrew have been engrafted into the family of God by Jesus the Christ. He engrafted us, the true vine. He said, any branch in me, verse 2, that does not bear fruit or that stops bearing fruit. So if we look at that, he says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, how do we bear fruit when we are in him? What kind of fruit should we be bearing? I believe it goes right back to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit, how we should be walking in those things, and how against those things there is no law. He said, any branch in me, any branch that is connected to him, that doesn't bear fruit. It reminds me of the parable of the master who gave the talents to his servants. Each one was given talents according to their personal ability to reproduce. They reproduced according to their ability. And the master knew which servant would produce what, which determined why and how he was able to give each servant a specific amount before he left. They produced for him when he came back to receive. Two of them produced, one did not. Jesus said, any branch in me that does not bear fruit or that stops bearing fruit, The servant in that parable, I believe in Matthew chapter 25, with the one talent, the master gave him that talent based on his ability to reproduce, which means he was producing up until that moment, until he took that talent and hid it. Because he had to have been producing in the first place. Otherwise, the master would not have given him the talent. So he was producing. But when he hid that talent, he stopped producing. Jesus said, any branch in me that does not bear fruit or that stops bearing, God, the vine dresser, the Father, cuts away, trims off, takes away, and cleanses. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Do we remember what happened to that servant who buried his talent? He was cast into outer darkness. And it was taken from him, what was given to him. He stopped bearing. Jesus said, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing fruit, he cuts away, trims off, takes away. And the Father cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. The other two servants in that parable in Matthew chapter 25 who were given the talents, the five and the five talent and the two talents or the three talents, they were producing. And the master in that parable put them in charge and made them ruler over much. Now, when you are put in a position to be ruler over much, you are given more responsibility. And with more responsibility comes more challenges because you're given a lot more to handle. And in verse 2, Jesus says, the Father cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. The more you produce, the more the responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Requiring, you got to be pruned. We have to be pruned. So there are many challenges that come along with what God gives us as more responsibility. Jesus said in verse 3, he said, you are cleansed and pruned already. It's a work that's already been done because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. So the pruning of the Father has already been done. It happens in the spirit first because God is always a God in the now. It is done in the spirit. And the end result of what has already been done in the spirit by him has to be manifested outwardly. It has to come to this realm, the realm of the realm of the flesh. It has to be demonstrated. It has to be shown. It has to be exhibited. The change on the inside that has taken place on the inside of us has to be exhibited outwardly. Hence, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Yes, we already walk in the fruit of the Spirit because when we accept Jesus the Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us. God comes into us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit sets up residence in us. So the change has already taken place in us. But now it's the walking out and bringing the change which is in us to fruition, to the outside for all to see, for the glory and honor of God alone. Not for our glory, not to say that we are so righteous, but it is so that men and women will glorify Abba in heaven and want to be a part of the family of God because of our love. Jesus said, you are cleansed and pruned, pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Then in verse 4, he says, dwell in me. What do branches do in a vine? Branches are fed by the main vine. Those branches are nourished by the main vine. They can't produce fruit and become sprouting branches unless they are connected to the main vine. Dwell in me, Jesus said. Dwell in him, which is done already, because without him was not anything made that was made. And we were made for him and by him and for him. We were made by Jesus the Christ for him. How do we dwell in Jesus? How does he want us to dwell in him? He says, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. A reciprocated relationship here. He said, live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding and being vitally united to the vine. Vitally united. What does it mean to be vitally united to Christ? Vitally united, not just united to him, but vitally united. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you, Jesus says. Live in me and I will live in you, Jesus says. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without be abiding and being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me, Jesus says. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Set your minds on things above. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Walking in the word of God, communing with Christ, keeping his precepts, statutes, his commands, valuing his word like Mary did when she sat at his feet instead of being busy serving with Martha, learning, listening, absorbing, taking in, ingesting, digesting in the Spirit, in our innermost self, his words, himself, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We cannot produce or bear fruit. We cannot effectively walk in the fruit of the Spirit without being vitally united to Christ. He walked in those fruits as well when he was on this planet. We cannot effectively walk in those fruit and demonstrate them in our lives unless we are vitally united to our Christ. How do we become vitally united with Him? Cultivating a relationship with Him. Developing intimacy with Him. Closeness with Him. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. We have to be the ones to draw near, to want Him. We have to need Him. We have to crave Him. We have to long for Him. We have to yearn for Him. We have to just hunger and thirst for Him. He who has been forgiven much loves much. He who has been forgiven little loves little. But we all have been forgiven much. So how much more should our craving of Him be? Look at what He did for us. Jesus said in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me, and not just lives in me, but I live in him, bears much abundant fruit. Jesus causes the fruit he's the one who causes us to bear fruit. He is the one. We do not do anything in and of ourselves. We cannot do anything in and of ourselves. The strength that we have to do the things that we do on a daily basis is not us. It is Almighty God. It is Jesus the Christ. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. You don't just bear fruit, but you bear abundant fruit. When you dwell, are united, vitally united to Christ. He said, however, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. He says in verse 6, if a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. And such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. Remember how we were talking about the servant who was given the one talent and what happened to him when the master came back to receive what he had given to his servants. Like we discussed earlier, that servant had to have been producing before he was given that one talent in order for the master to even give him that amount. He gave him that amount according to his ability. To reproduce. But he stopped bearing. We don't want to be branches that are gathered up and thrown into the fire and burned. How do we produce the fruit? Jesus does it through us. You know, every now and again, we must do what Corinthians says. It says, let a man or woman examine himself. And let the Holy Spirit shine the light on us. And show us where we were. And show us where we are. And show us where we're going. So that we can see the progression of growth. So that we can see the progression of the abundant fruit that has been produced so that God can confirm, yes, you are in my will. Yes, you are doing the right thing. Yes, you are listening to my voice. Yes, I am with you. Yes. And we know him and we see the production of it firsthand before our very eyes. And we know it's him. He says in verse 7, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words, he says, remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Jesus said this. This is a promise. This is part of his statutes and precepts and things that we are to do as the body of Christ. Because he's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. The bride of Christ. His words must remain in us. And his words are life. They give us vitality. They help us produce the abundant fruit that he said in verse 5 that causes us to produce the abundant fruit because we live in him and he lives in us. His words remain in us and continue to live in us. Not only will we produce abundant fruit, like he said in verse 5, but we can also ask whatever you will, he said. It shall be done for you. And then he said in verse 8, when you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. And you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Going back to verse 5 in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, when you bear and produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Verse 7, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Do you see the reciprocating relationship here? We ask, God blesses. The outward blessing, we bless. Producing fruit, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, exemplifying God. Why are all of these things working together? Because when we bear or produce much fruit, Abba is honored and glorified. And we show and prove ourselves to be true followers of Christ. Verse 9, he says, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. I have loved you just as the Father have loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions. You will abide in my love and live on in it. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love, I have told you these things, Jesus said, that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full measure and complete and overflowing. Here is his commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, no greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down and give up his own life for his friends. And Jesus says, you are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. He said, I do not call you servants or slaves any longer, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing or working out, but I've called you my friends because I've made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father, and I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. And then he goes on to say, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you. And I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give it to you. Verse 17, this is what I command you, that you love one another. You know, it is often said, when God says something one time, he means what he says. But when he says something more than once, what kind of intensity level does God want us to perceive when he tells us to do something more than one time? If he means what he says when he says it the first time, how intense is the meaning if he says it more than one time? Do we value God's words as the body of Christ? Lord, help us. Help us, Father. Holy Spirit, show us, teach us, instruct us, help us. Lord, thank you that you lead us, that you guide us, that you teach us, that you correct us, that you chasten us. Because whom you love, you chasten. And Lord, we welcome your chastening. I welcome your chastening, O God. Welcome your chastening. For you are pruning us when you chasten. And you are helping us to produce more excellent and richer fruit, so that you, the ultimate purpose, O God, is so that you will be glorified. You, Abba, will be honored, did up, for all to see, and that your name would be praised, O God. That all will see how good you are, Lord. That all will see your goodness and understand your love. which is unconditional. Agape. Long-suffering. Gentle. Kind. Perfect. Loving. Always giving. Help us, Holy Spirit. We want to be more like you, Jesus. Daily. As we develop in our walk before you, O God. As we become more like you, Lord Jesus. Abba, we welcome the pruning. We welcome the cleansing. Put us back on the potter's wheel, for you are the potter, and we are the clay. Bend us, break us, mold us, make us, as only as you can. Have thine own way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and I, us, as the family of God. May the Lord continue to keep us. May the Lord continue to make his face shine upon us. May the Lord continue to be gracious unto us. May the Lord continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us as he smiles and looks upon us so lovingly. And may the Lord continue to give us his peace in all things, no matter what. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying God bless you on this day. This was a food for thought session again today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless your name, Lord. Until we meet again, be blessed on this day. Amen.